We welcome you back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. We welcome in our official attorney of this program, Lisa Lanier. She joins us every week for a segment called Lawyer Up. Always good to talk to her, and a full docket today. Hello, Lisa. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. I hope you guys are.
Doing very well, thanks.
Full bush, full docket kind of day.
I hate to say, Lisa.
Man, that's right. She's
very busy.
Man, we had a Titillation Tuesday earlier this week, and they're saying that women are now going full bush, and that's what Chris Dim's referencing, and I'm sorry you had to hear that. I'm sorry.
I know my audience. You know, I know Lisa.
You're a woman. We can't.
A professional.
Even though you.
A mother.
Now, you wore in your Halloween costume 2 years ago. You were
there full, was a lot of bush in that.
You were full bush. That's all I'll say about it. That's
more bush than Kenny Bunkport in the summer.
And who would have known at the time? You're a trendsetter.
Yeah, who knew?
Who knew you were the one? You were the first. They're going to trace this back to you. So, off the docket. Listen to this story. Off the docket. We don't think this could happen in the U.S. A town in England. Somebody was going to open a pizza restaurant, a pizzeria. And the town said, sorry, can't let you open it. Our kids are too fat. Their BMI is too high. That doesn't happen here. You can't do that in the U.S., can you?
No. But we would just take care of it, you know, through capitalism. So, if we really felt that way in a community, we just wouldn't shop there, and it wouldn't do very well.
Yeah,
so.
Pizza places tend not to go out of business.
I think the pizza place is going to do just fine. Yeah. We are eaters. There's also a new story coming today, also from our nation's youth. From Vermont, a student named Preston Flanders submitted his photo, his yearbook photo, for Mill River Union High School. And they're back there at school now, of course, and the yearbooks will come out in a few months. And the school board has said, sorry, you can't use the photo you've submitted because it shows him with a gun. He's an avid hunter. This is Preston, along with his parents, saying he's been hunting for a long time now.
Grew up hunting and my parents hunt, my grandparents hunt. I've hunted since I was
eight.
Yeah, that's when I passed my hunter safeties course. I've gone to several different courses. I shoot at ranges. I like shooting. That's what I like doing.
So they say there, the school board says, sorry, there's a rule. There's just no guns as part of anything we do in the school. But his father, who is on the school board, says, well, show me where it's written. There is no written rule saying no guns in the yearbook. So he's protesting this. And at first I was against, I thought it was a bad look for sure, and I don't really think it's that big a deal. But the kid says, hey, how come so-and-so can carry a fishing pole and I can't have a gun? So-and-so can have a tennis racket, but I can't have a gun. Any hope for the kid leaving the gun in the yearbook, Lisa?
I don't think so. The school board does have a policy that they have like a zero tolerance for guns and gun imagery in general. They don't specify the yearbook. But, and it's gotten that way because, you know, all these crazy kids shooting up schools and, it's just gotten that way.
Yeah.
And I feel for the kid, though. I think there ought to be a compromise. I actually posted his yearbook picture on my social media on Instagram and Facebook. And it's it's blurry. I was trying to get the gun. I think it's a Smith & Wesson FPC semi-automatic that he's holding.
Yeah, it's a major gun. I saw it too.
It doesn't conjure up like hunting. Duck hunting.
I agree. When I saw it, I was like, that's like not a hunting rifle.
So are you saying if he had maybe used a hunting rifle, it might
be? Exactly. Yeah. So I think that what I think they ought to propose is, you know, put a traditional hunting rifle in there, you know, a pump lever bolt action gun.
Yeah.
And so it looks like you're a hunter. Because here, it kind of does look like he's a school shooter.
He does.
I
thought the same. When I read it, it was like, I didn't love it, but it's like, okay, he's a hunter. Then you look at it, and it looks like exactly what you would carry in to shoot up a school. I mean, that's the awful imagery.
I got it now. Yeah, that's what that so, doesn't conjure up hunting.
I have to, full disclosure, we had the discussion an hour ago, and I'm such a, I don't know guns at all. And I was afraid to say that, but it did look like that to me. And I was like, is this a hunting rifle?
Yeah, because I was picturing
a hunting rifle. It's a semi-automatic. And I mean, a lot of hunters, especially big game hunters, use semis, you know. But it's not what you traditionally think of, but it does look just like a damn school shooter gun.
Right.
And so I think that's the problem. So, you know, let the kid, I think, Let the kid show his enthusiasm for hunting, but do it in a slightly less, you know, flamboyant way where he looks like a school shooter.
Well,
you know,
my compromise was put him in a blaze orange cap or camo.
And have a deer head.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Let him hold up something he shot, which I think they would allow. I think he could sit there next to the antlers of a bloody deer.
A grizzly carcass?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they'd leave that in there. What it led to, good for us, and you can check out our social media, is Big E's high school photo.
All right.
Okay. Now, many have thought he passed away, and that's why we posted it. It is not.
No. It is not in memoriam.
On this story only.
Just lost my hair, my glasses. I've gained weight.
You've gained a tremendous amount of weight.
Since that photo. I was big then, but it was...
Yeah, but you tucked your shirt in.
We haven't seen a lot of tucking here lately. I want you to get back to looking just like that photo in the next 2 years. You can do it. I believe in you. I'll be your accountability buddy. We're going to put it...
We've already put him in the hospital twice. Just stop. Three times.
Yeah.
Am I the worst accountability buddy in America?
Without a doubt.
I've put you in the hospital three times. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee, where a woman who lives outside there has incorporated Halloween decorations into her Christmas display, or did, as the holidays changed last year. Alexis Luttrell put a skeleton and a skeleton dog in her yard in October. Later, she dressed them up for Christmas. But in December, she got a note saying she was in violation of city code. They considered them still to be Halloween decorations, and you have to take Halloween decorations down a certain amount of days after Halloween. I think they give you 30 days.
So 45 days.
Yep. So once the calendar rolled over, and she said, but I put Christmas wear.
She's got a Santa hat.
And they said, sorry, that's still a skeleton. I think she's in the right on this, Lisa. What? And I was surprised.
She's going to win. Yeah. And they kind of picked the wrong Missy to mess with here because she's a lawyer and she's not going to back down. And here's the other thing. So she just thinks this is funny. She got this dog skeleton and this human skeleton. And her plan is to dress them up for every holiday. Mm-hmm. So you may see them for, you know, Easter. You may see them for 4th of July. Mm-hmm. She just thinks it's funny to dress these two up, you know, throughout the year.
Right.
And so these are her Christmas decorations. They are dressed, you know, for Christmas. So, yeah. And, you know, here, like with the kid, with the gun, high school speech is slightly more regulated than adult public speech. And this is considered speech. Decorations are considered speech. And so there's a really high burden that the city would have to show that her decorations pose a substantial disruption to the peace and safety of others, which clearly they don't.
Right.
Now, with the high school kid, they just have to have, a compelling interest in, and again, it's disruption and safety, but it's a lower burden. And so, you know, that's why I think she's going to win all day long. And she's just like, hey, look, you know, I'm fighting this.
Well, yeah.
Interesting.
And I was a little surprised. Are you allowed in most places, let's say she just wanted to keep the skeleton out all year long, you know, not even putting the Christmas or Easter stuff on it. Just she likes Halloween, so she puts it up all year long. Are you not allowed to do that in certain places?
Well, you know, again, you know, if she fought it, I think she would prevail because she's not hurting anybody with it. What the city can regulate is, you know, obscenities and things like that, and things that pose a danger. But, I mean, think about all the whack jobs that put crazy signs all over their yards and stuff. And actually, one of the stories we're doing today, the guy does that with the guy that wants the barrier. So, yeah, I mean, you know, her stuff is pretty harmless. And I think, you know, she's going to fight it and win.
Perfect segue.
You've kind of prejudiced us against the whack job in the next story.
Let's be honest. Listen, wait a minute. I'm on this
whack
job.
That's a weighted word.
I'm on this whack job side. This whack job in Cleveland Heights, Ohio, this is the story we're talking about. He is a homeowner named John Gall, and he's lived at his residence since 1996. And when he moved in, there was a guardrail in front of his house. But a few years later, for whatever reason, the city took the guardrail down. Maybe it had become dilapidated. Well, since that time, in the last 20 years or so, in fact, in less time than that, four cars have crashed into his driveway, into his truck, into his home, his garage, and he can get no satisfaction from city council there, any of the government. They put some boulders out in front of his home, and he said, well, that does nothing. You need to put up the guardrail. We actually had a caller who knew of the house, and she said, yeah, the guardrail used to have reflective lights on it so you could see the house. Otherwise, you don't see the barrier and you go right past it, and his house has been crashed into a number of times. All he's been able to do is paint signs. This is the whack job part of it. And the signs he paints are messages to city council.
I'm painting another sign. This sign's going to go somewhere with the one that says the cowards won't talk because they're chicken bleep mother froggers.
Do these... Don't these mother froggers have a
responsibility? Don't be a mother frogger, yeah. Cleveland. Come on.
Put up a guardrail on this man's house.
You don't think they took the guardrail down just to mess with him because they know he's a loon?
Again, these words have meaning.
Move to strike, whack job and loon.
Hey, don't put the guardrail back up. Watch this.
There's no way that mother frogger is a whack job.
No, come on now.
No way.
Come on. Is this mother frogger going to get any kind of satisfaction, Lisa? What do you think?
I don't think so, because there's a little more to the story. Mm. You know, like Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story is that they've tried to work with him. They, for whatever reason, the city thinks that a guardrail is not the most effective thing to put up there. They've actually offered to put up one of those New Jersey walls, like a concrete wall. Mm. He doesn't want that. Mm-hmm. They've offered, they have put up some flashing signs now, and they've put up a speed bump, a fairly large speed bump. And his response to that was, speed bump WTF on a sign.
His signs, not effective,
his
apparently.
His signs. So, and they've even offered to buy his property. He will not communicate directly with them. He's mm-hmm. just really, I think, he's gone down a rabbit hole of enjoying the drama. Mm. And they've offered to move in more boulders, move the boulders that are on his property to a different spot to make it, you know, more useful to buy his property, to install mm-hmm. concrete walls. I mean, they just don't want, I think they think that the... what he's looking for, the barrier he's looking for, is not as good as like a concrete wall would be. And no doubt it's a problematic intersection there where he's, I mean, you know, four times is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But he's kind of wallowing in the mother froggerness of it all.
Yeah, he is. You know, he says that he won't accept their offer to buy because when they buy for fair market value, what he can buy now for that dollar amount is not even close to what he's getting because of the price of houses these days.
You know, makes sense.
So he doesn't want to sell. But I didn't realize that they had offered all this other stuff because what he wants is the original thing back. Now our caller did say, and he has said that I didn't have any problem when you put the guardrail with the lights up, but it doesn't sound like he's going to get any satisfaction. So he's just painting the signs. The signs go up.
Just keep doing the signs. I don't think they're going to do much else for him.
Remember now, the whack job versus City of Cleveland Heights is going on. The loon versus City of Cleveland goes on today. To Lincoln, Rhode Island, this one, waterworks now. It breaks my heart. It really does. There was a St. Bernard puppy who has died after the St. Bernard's owner. Her name is Kristen Britton, and she took Princess Freckles to the veterinarian. The vet she took the dog to said she's going to need a surgical procedure. They did the procedure, and Princess Freckles seemed fine after the surgery. But within not too long, she started vomiting. And the owner of the dog said, well, I think maybe she's eating grass or something like that. Well, eventually, the dog was vomiting so much they had to rush her to a different veterinarian. And that vet, when they did the x-ray, found surgical tools still inside the dog, gauze and scissors. And the vet said, this is going to be a very delicate operation and she may not survive it.
We all were looking at the x-ray. Like, it's not even possible that there are scissors in my dog's stomach. But by that point, she was so sick that if they had done the emergency surgery, she probably wasn't gonna make it. So we had to rush the kids, you know, out of school. They had to say goodbye. I was not expecting to put her down. I was expecting overnight stay with fluids, maybe antibiotics. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I was coming home without my dog.
I mean, you hear the heartbreak. So she's ready to sue veterinarian Deborah Hirschman, who did the original procedure, for leaving the scissors in the dog. Meanwhile, she says, I don't even care so much about monetary value. I want public information out there knowing what this vet has done. Lisa, I'm sure you're going to tell us she can't get that much for the dog, but should she go ahead with a lawsuit?
She's going ahead, this lady. So they kept calling Princess Freckles a puppy, but she's 3 years old. So they've had her for a while. They're very attached. They were very attached to her.
Yeah.
Left instruments, two instruments and a whole bunch of gauze. I mean, it was just really below standard of care, and they're going to pursue it even though they're only entitled to fair market value. They also complained to the veterinary health board about this lady and got her license suspended. So they're out for blood.
Yeah, as they should be.
Yeah.
They should be. That's terrible. Yeah. That is really awful. Yeah. And they lost their poor puppy. Yeah. You know?
Keep saying puppy.
That three-year-old dog. What? I mean, worse.
All dogs are puppies.
It's worse. I mean, it's worse. They lost their dog, and she's 3 years old, and they've had her for a while. It's a terrible story. I mean, it's really awful. The next and final on the docket today comes from Arizona, where a Phoenix man is suing the police department there for over $15 million. His name is Michael Kenyon. He's 30 years old. He filed a notice of claim against the city last week because at some point he was walking through a parking lot in July of last year, and police needed to question him. He was talking on his cell phone. Eventually, they wound up putting him on the ground to cuff him. And what happened was he was on the ground for about 4 minutes with his face and his hands on the ground. And it's July in Phoenix. So you can imagine the asphalt and the heat of the asphalt. And he says he got third-degree burns on his body from this. They're suing for $15 million because they're saying he's going to live another 42 years of life expectancy. And he has these kinds of burns. What kind of number do you think he'll get for this, Lisa? I know police sometimes get latitude on these kinds of things. How wrong were the police for putting him on the concrete in this situation?
I think they were pretty wrong. And I was skeptical at first because I thought, how bad could it be, you know, from the asphalt, right?
Yeah.
But apparently that asphalt was between 180 and 200 degrees. He literally had third-degree burns. And I looked it up, and I actually posted these pictures, too. You have to scroll, you know, scroll, swipe, or whatever to see him past the high school picture. Mm-hmm. But his scarring, oh, my gosh, and they were terrible. I was shocked at how bad it was. I mean, shocked. And it's a white dude. I was shocked at that, too.
Yeah. But, objection.
Objection.
But
can I say, I have not seen a picture of this man. I assumed he was black. I can't believe it. How bad am I? I just assumed he was black.
You're very bad.
I saw the pictures. I was like, holy crap, that guy's white, and he was really burned. Like, really, really burned.
I'm just bad as
you are. Stereotypes, you're three for three today.
My God. Jeez.
The overweight, the Asians.
The Asians.
The black community.
I don't want to say what I said about Asians earlier. Well, I heard it. I just heard it, and I can't even.
Yeah, but you chuckled.
Yeah. I chuckled. I heard it.
Louder than the rest.
He's right. He's right. Continue, though. Is he going to get this kind
of money? Yeah, this guy, they pressed every part of his body, apparently, into the asphalt. I mean, he's got scars everywhere. Ooh. They said, like, chunks of his flesh were just melted off, on his leg.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's really, really bad. Yeah. And the crazy thing is, he's never been charged with a crime. They just wanted to talk to him. I think it was probably one of the situations where he was on his cell phone. Mm-hmm. He ignored them. They got pissed off. You know, maybe he mouthed off and, you know, said something ugly. Mm. They got pissed off. And, you know, I mean, I feel for law enforcement. I'm but I do think they probably, you know,
went too far.
Overreacted a tad here a little bit. Yeah. And burned him. I mean, bad.
Let me ask you this.
And he was not a criminal. He was just minding his own business, you know, walking down the street, talking on his cell phone through a shopping center parking lot.
Man.
Would the case be any different, Lisa? Let's say the man was a suspect, had a gun in his hand. He'd shot somebody at a grocery store.
Mm.
And he's out there in the middle of a grocery store parking lot in Phoenix in the middle of summer.
Yeah, I think if he was, was like resisting or something too, I think that would have made a big difference. But everybody that has investigated this and they say that he was just pleading. He's like pleading with them to get him up off that asphalt. I mean, it's just.
He's cooking. I cannot believe he's cooking. Third degree burns, no matter how.
The pictures are terrible.
That's terrible. All. Remember last year there was a cheerleading coach that made her cheerleaders do push-ups or exercises on the track.
Yeah.
And they got burns.
Remember that?
Unbelievable. Lisa, I know you wanted to say something that you're doing that we need to mention here before you go as well.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah. Yes. On February 4th at 6:30, if you live in Davidson County or nearby, and you want to hang out with me for a couple hours, I'm looking for paid volunteers paying $50 and feeding you dinner out at the Davidson Davy Community College. We're doing, I'm helping some colleagues do a focus group to pitch two sides of a case and kind of see how they feel about it. If you're interested in doing it, hit us up either on our website, you can do hireaheavyweight.com or lanierlawgroup.com, or call us, whatever. We'll get you signed up. $50 and dinner, and you hang out with me, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, that's awesome.
It's worth the hang. She's worth it.
Oh, yeah, she's worth it. I'm not going to say anything about full bush.
Don't.
You should wear your costume.
Oh, my God.
For that night. Lisa Lanier, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Stay safe. Have a fabulous weekend.
You too. There she goes.